Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let me just say, if you're new to Refuge, I am not Pastor Bill Welsh. He is in Idaho. He is in Idaho, and he is doing the shepherd. And how many of you guys, raise your hand if you've seen the shepherd. It's this amazing thing that our pastor does. It's a reenactment of one of the shepherds during the Christmas season, the birth of Christ, and it's basically the gospel. And so he goes all around the United States this time of year. And here's the cool thing. You all release him to do it. We say, hey, you know, get on a plane, go somewhere, share this message. And so over the next coming weeks, he's going to be sharing that all over the place. And so God has definitely gifted him with this message. He's been doing it for a long time, and we like him to go out and do it because it is the gospel message. And so I think he would want me to tell you he's not doing it here this year at Refuge, but because he feels like he does it every year. So he wants to expand that out. But I think he's going to be doing it in Long Beach. So you can get more information at that info counter. So info counter people, you might want to know about that. But all that to say is we've released him this morning. I get the privilege of getting to teach the word this morning, so I'm honored to get to do that. I would just say this. The Christmas season brings people who don't normally come to church to church, and if that's you this morning, we are so glad that you're here. We welcome you. We want you to be here. And so sometimes Christians are like, oh, they come twice a year, church and Easter, and we should be like, yeah, awesome, great, you're here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for choosing Refuge as that place. And we also know that some people come and they're like, the Bible's a cool story, but it's not really, you know, it's not really true. And that's okay. If that's you this morning, we're glad that you're here with us. We want to invite you actually to be with us all through the Christmas season, because we're going to be using the Bible, and maybe that'll be something that you could kind of key in on and feel like, okay, maybe I could ask, maybe there's some things I didn't understand, or maybe there's some things that I have questions about, that over this Christmas season, as we talk about Jesus and the coming of this baby, maybe some questions will be answered for you. And so we encourage you, we invite you, we want you to be here. Those of you who are Christians and you're just going to come anyways because that's what you always do, it might be cool. This is a good time to invite someone to come and be a part of Refuge for a month. Maybe this is that invitation time for you to say, hey, listen, come be a part of this series my church is doing. It's talking about Jesus. And maybe we could ask some questions afterwards, or you could have some questions afterwards. So we want to invite people. If that's you here, we're glad that you're here. Here's the big thing. Christians believe, we believe, that there was a design and a purpose and an intent for Christmas, for Jesus coming, for this little baby boy being born. We believe all that. And so that's a big part of who we are and why we celebrate, why we sing these songs, and why it's such a big deal to us. Now, I would also say this. You possibly might miss a Sunday. No, we will never miss a Sunday. No, if you do, I'm just saying, if you do, refugefamily.com. We'll have all this whole entire series up on our website. And here's the other cool thing, because some of you like to walk and you like to go from place to place and you want to kind of listen to the word of God as you're traveling. Our church app, our Refuge app, will have all these messages, both video and audio, up there that you could watch and listen as you're driving to work or wherever you're at. This will all be on the website for this whole month. I think that's it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come together over your word. And I do. I'm so thankful that if there is anyone here this morning, maybe who's questioning your word, maybe who's questioning you, and maybe who doesn't even know you, this is the first time they're going to hear this morning about this baby Jesus. And Lord, if they're here this morning, we are so glad that they are here. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them, direct your words and your attention towards them. And for the rest of us, we're so glad we gathered together and rejoicing during this season for the promise that we believe came in this amazing, amazing gift. Less of me this morning and so much more of you. Amen. Amen. Well, as you can see up on the screen, the title of this entire month is The Perfect Gift for You. And now, I would just say that our family received the perfect gift a couple years ago. It was the Roomba. Anybody have heard of the Roomba? It's this little circular disc that goes around your house and cleans and you don't have to do it. That's the great thing about it. It just starts in the morning and it starts cleaning. And then here's the cool thing. It finds its way back to the charging station, charges up, and then does it again the next day. You don't even have to think about it. Some of you are like, wow, dream come true. Now, here's the truth of the matter is, I bought that for my wife a couple years ago. I bought a vacuum for my wife for Christmas, which some of you are like, oh, what a jerk. I can't believe, did you hear what he just said? He bought a vacuum for his wife. Oh, how could you? But I'll just tell you this, in my defense, she had been wanting one for a long time. She asked for it, so I obliged her. And now we both love it. It's like, oh, a beautiful thing. And I'll just tell you, my wife's an amazing housekeeper. She's great. But I'll just tell you, you all have dirt in your houses. You have no idea that's there because this thing every day picks up dirt, like a whole thing of it. We just keep emptying it out, put it back in. It goes again, again, and again, and again. It's an amazing gift. Here's the question for you. What is your best gift ever? Think about it for a second. What is your best gift ever? Is it functional like the Roomba? For me, I like functional gifts. Like if you were going to give me the perfect gift for me, it would be functional. In other words, it would be like, it's good this week and the next week and the next. I want this thing to keep working, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's extravagant. Like maybe your perfect gift is like over the top, cost a lot of money, just super valuable. Maybe it's memorable. Maybe it's something that you're like, oh, I'm always going to treasure this in my heart. I'll always remember this gift. Or maybe it's a vacation. Somebody says, let's shared experience. That would be my perfect gift. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about a perfect gift that was given to a young lady, a very young lady. And in fact, this whole month, we're going to be talking about this amazing gift. And in fact, this gift, she could never have requested. She never could even thought or to ask for this gift. It was never on her Christmas list. It was an absolute surprise. The gift would radically change her life and, in fact, would change many other people's lives as well. In fact, it would change world history. In fact, this gift, it was, as maybe you could allude to, it was the baby Jesus. And I don't know where you stand with Jesus or what the Bible says or where your belief is and all that, but one thing we can't argue is that this little baby, this Jesus, changed world history. So the commonality that we can all share this morning is that we can all say that Jesus, in some form, in some way, changed all of history. And so this should be kind of an interesting study for you because, listen, we want to know more about where this all came from. How did Jesus come to be? And so we're going to look at that this morning. And in order to understand this passage, in order to understand the magnitude of this gift, we have to kind of understand the setting by which it was given. The Jews at the time, the Jews were waiting for a Messiah to come. That's historical. That's fact. They're waiting for a Messiah to come, someone to come and rescue them from whoever at the time it was the Romans, whoever they was governing over them. They believe God had promised that they would someone would come and would save them and rescue them and establish his kingdom on the earth. That the Jews would rule and reign, that this Messiah would rule and reign in the name of Christ, in the name of God, in the name of Yahweh. And so we want to look, first of all, at some passages real quickly. It says this in Isaiah 42:1, and the Jews would have known these passages. It says, behold, my servant whom I am uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And some of the translations say justice to the nations. It'll be far-reaching justice. Isaiah 61:1-2. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now, these are two small passages, they're big passages. The Jews would have held on to these passages, but there were other passages that alluded to this idea that God is going to come back in some way. He's going to establish his kingdom on earth. Messiah, Christ will reign, and we Jews will be back in lead again, in God's own people, raised back up again. And these people, in that time, the Romans, well, they'll be pushed down. God will have justice. And so the Jews are waiting this moment, this setting for our amazing gift this morning is this moment where Christ or Messiah will reign. And I love it. We're going to go, if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. The thing I love about this, the second thing we need to know is about our author today, Luke, who wrote this down. And I love what I love reading from Luke because Luke says, listen, O Theophilus, he's writing to a guy. He said, I did some work on this. I did some study. I did some research. In other words, he's saying, I just didn't write it down. I got my facts straight. I pounded the pavement. I talked to people. I questioned people. I asked them, who is this Jesus guy? In fact, if you don't have to turn there, but you can just be, well, you could if you want. You're right there. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. And I love verse 4. It says, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In other words, the context of our gift this morning is Jews waiting for a Messiah, Jews knowing that God is going to send someone, and this author who says, I went all the way back to the beginning, I talked to people, I interviewed, I just want you to know, Theophilus, that you can know with certainty the facts that I have written down. I've done my homework, I've done my research, and this is a guy who wrote over 2,000 years ago. And we are sitting here today reading his words. It's in this context that we start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And this is what it says. Now, in the sixth month, well, the sixth month of what? The sixth month of John the Baptist's conception inside his mother Elizabeth's womb. So and if we go all the way back and we read all the way from, which we are not going to do this morning, but Luke chapter 1, all the way through the first part is all about this idea that Elizabeth, who was barren, could not have children far along in her age. She has now been given this child in her womb, and that child is now 6 months old. So here we go. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, who's the angel Gabriel? We also learn a little bit about him in the first part of chapter 1. Not only is he just any angel, he's not just any old angel, not that that could even possibly be, but he's not just any angel. We know that he says this about himself, I stand in the presence of God. 1 verse 19, I stand in the presence of God. So Gabriel is a special anointed angel who goes to bring this message to this young lady. Look at verse 27. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. I'm not sure what your response would be in this moment as you're standing at the sink, maybe washing the dishes, and all of a sudden you get this sense that there's somebody else in the room with you to only to turn to find out it's an angel. And not just any angel, right? The angel Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. Whew, my knees would be shaking. It would be a little scary. And the question we'd all ask would be, why are you here? What are you doing? After we pulled ourselves up off the floor. What did I do wrong? Is there something that God wants to tell me that I've been doing wrong? And yet we learn four things out of this about Mary. Number one, she's betrothed, which in Jewish custom would mean she's essentially taken. There's no moving from this moment. You are betrothed. You're married without being married. You're married without the benefits of married, right? You still can't live with your husband. You're separated from him, most part, two different households. But there's a year that's going to transpire, that's going to progress forward, and then you will be married. But what we learn about this is that she's betrothed. She's taken. She's Joseph's. Nobody else can have her. The second thing that we learn is that she's a virgin. Now, this is a much debated issue that some say, well, that word virgin just means a young woman, right? But I will just show you, and we'll look at it a little bit later here in the text, that I don't see how the Bible leaves any question for it not to mean that she has not been with a man. Because the Bible will say here, we'll look here in a second at this, that she in fact hadn't been with a man. And she's young, she's given to Joseph to be married, but she hasn't partaken in that benefit of marriage yet. She hasn't been with a man. And so we'll look at that here in a second. But the idea that we learn is that she's a virgin. She's a young woman, and she has not been with a man. The third thing is that we learn that she's highly favored with Yahweh, with God. Gabriel comes to her, and you imagine that? That she says, listen, you're highly favored with the Father, with God. And he says, the Lord is with you. Whew. Amazing, a young girl getting that message from an angel about her heavenly Father, the one she's worshipped and loved all her life. And then he tells her this, fourth thing, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son, which at that point, she must have freaked out. Oh my gosh, what kind of message are you giving me? What is this all about? And he's going to take her deeper into that here in a moment. He's going to open that box. He's going to give her a sneak peek at this gift, this little baby boy that's going to come. And I can remember back to when Bethany and I had our first and her second and her third. I remember all three of them equally, evenly throughout all three. I can remember we were the people like to sneak peek at those kids. We wanted the moment we could, we went to the doctors and we said, what is it? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? And we want to know all about it as much as you can tell us. And they would take that gel, that cold gel, and put it on her stomach, and they'd run that ultrasound over, and we'd get the sneak peek. We never got the pictures. Those are cool, though. We never got the pictures, but we'd want to see what in the world is inside this womb. And then I remember very distinctly afterwards leaving the doctor's office, and we would start the conversation. I wonder what she's going to be like. I wonder what he's going to be like. We should start designing the room and making it all look like a baby's room. And we start planning and inventing. And here, the angel Gabriel is going to give Mary a sneak peek into who this little baby would be when he enters the womb. Even before Jesus was born, even before he was called a great prophet, even before he was a wise teacher, we get some sneak peek information about this baby boy. So look at verse 31. This is what the angel Gabriel says to Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. We know that from Matthew's account, that Jesus meant Savior, and not only just a general Savior. Matthew's very specific. He says, and he will save his people from their sins. That's kind of a big deal. I don't know. Seems like a pretty important baby to me. But he goes on, he says, 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Who's the Son of the Highest? Who is the Highest? Well, for the Jews and their culture, highest is only one. There's only one, and it's Yahweh, it's God, it's Jehovah. And here the angel is saying, Mary, this baby that you're going to have, he's going to be called Son of the Highest. Okay, pretty important. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. So just a brief description of this baby, Mary. I mean, no big deal. Jesus, known as Savior, will save his people from his sins. He'll be great. He'll be called Son of the Most High. God will give Jesus the throne of his father, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And to his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, I will tell you this. For my kids, I have high, high aspirations, high hopes, big dreams. Never once have I ever thought about Jack, my son. You know what? I think he's going to change world history by saving the people from their sins. I've never thought that. Nobody's ever told me that before. Or for Abby, who I love deeply, and I think she's an amazing girl, I don't think that she is ever going to run a kingdom that will last forever. Taylor, amazing girl. Love her. Love her. But she's not the son of the most highest or the daughter of the most highest. There's an amazing truth about this baby that Gabriel is saying to Mary that she couldn't have misconstrued. It wasn't like, oh, this angel showed up one day and told me I was going to have a son and yeah, he's okay. It was more like, do you know what he just said to me? Do you know what you're saying to me? The Son of the Highest, rescue people from their sins. To this kingdom there will be no end. So why does Mary buy into all this? At what point, so she could have just said, this is all a dream. This is an imagination. Or I don't really understand what you're saying. Because there are passages like this, written 700 years before this moment. This is what Isaiah the prophet said. 700 years prior to this moment in time where Jesus would come forth. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know Emmanuel means God with us. Oh, that's interesting. 700 years prior, would Mary have known this? Surely. Maybe this is that time. Maybe this is that moment. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Messiah, waiting, coming. This he'll be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, his reign, his rule, and his peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, what did Gabriel say? His father David, he will reign in the name of his father David forever. And over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So she's hearing this from the angel Gabriel. Some key words in there, right? Forever, throne of David, son, everlasting kingdom. She's thinking, oh, is this that moment? Is this the moment my people have been waiting for years and years and years? Could this be Messiah? All those things that you just said seem like this baby is going to be pretty important. And I'll just tell you, this is why Christians get all geeked up and excited at Christmas. This is why Christians go over the top and we get all excited and we sing all these songs and we put manger scenes in our front yard and we put the cross on our houses, is because we believe that this is true, that this was the divine moment, the breakthrough moment where God comes into history as a man, as a boy, as a baby. That's why we get all excited about this. We believe that Isaiah was right 700 years before Jesus, and we believe that angel Gabriel was true when he came and he said, this little baby is going to be an amazing gift for you, Mary, but for all of mankind. That this is the fulfillment of those promises. Then Mary, I think, asks a question that all of us would have asked Gabriel, the angel, at that point in time. And this is what I believe, without a shadow of doubt, when the Bible says that she's a virgin, it didn't just mean young child, but it also meant that she had not had relationships with a man. Here's why I think that's true. Listen to this next passage. Look at the verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She knew men, right? She knew her father. She knew Joseph. But what does he mean here? That I have not had relationships with a man. And then the response to that question, in other words, we'd all be asking it, I don't understand. I'm a young woman. I'm betrothed to be married. I'm a godly young woman. I'm holy. I'm set apart. I've been pure. How can this possibly be that I'm going to bear a son? The angel's response to that, Gabriel's response, is this. And the angel answered and said to her, this is how. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Listen, God's got it taken care of, Mary. He'll do it. He'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. And the word there, overshadowed, the idea of overshadowing was kind of like when God's presence came and dwelt in the temple, or on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus is transfigured and that cloud comes upon, the word there, overshadowed. It's that same idea. So God will take care of it. This will be God's son. He will cause you to become pregnant. Then she says, okay, sounds good. No questions here. Move along. Bye, Gabriel. No, more than likely, she probably would have had lots of questions in her mind that she could have asked. In other words, I'm betrothed to be married. What's that going to look like? I mean, my name is going to be shamed amongst the people. They're going to think that I had relationships with a man outside of my husband's Joseph and outside of wedlock, outside of being betrothed. My name is going to be shamed. How can I explain this to Joseph? What's that going to look like? How am I going to explain it to my future husband? What's he going to say? What kind of pressure there would have been on if it's true what you just said to me, Gabriel, that I'm going to be bearing the Son of God, who will be called Son of the Most Highest? That's a lot of pressure. What do I eat? Do I just eat vegetables all the time? I got to make sure this baby's healthy, right? No Diet Coke. I can't drink any Diet Coke. I got to stay on point here. Oh, the pressure of being the mother of the Son of God. A lot of questions to be asked. A life that was probably planned out. I'm going to get married in a year. What does this do to that perfect picture of what it would have looked like if I could have just married my husband and just made it normal, like every other little young Jewish girl? And now that's wrecked. That's ruined. But God had other plans for Mary. And in fact, he had other plans for Elizabeth as well. Elizabeth, who we talked about at the very beginning, she's barren. She couldn't have kids all her life. And in fact, in the first part of Luke, her husband, Zacharias, an angel comes to him and says, listen, your wife's going to have a baby. It's going to be an important baby. He's going to be the forerunner to Christ. And he's going to proclaim the name of Jesus before Jesus even comes. And he kind of says, no, wait a minute. Come on. We're both well beyond the years of childbearing. And my wife she's barren. And here in verse 36 of our chapter this morning, it says, this is again another revelation from Gabriel to Mary. It says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month, there's our sixth month again, for her who was called barren. My cousin's pregnant? I thought she could never get pregnant. I thought this would never happen. She's older, you know? She's older. Yeah, she's pregnant too. She's going to have a baby. Wow. Now, I could see at this point where some of you, I've only defended the reason why you don't believe in Christianity. Oh, yeah. Okay, Jeff, right. A teenage girl gets a visit by an angel, and that angel says to her, listen, you're going to have the Son of God. Jeff, do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear what you're preaching? Do you hear what you're teaching? This is all craziness. And maybe for you, you sit there this morning, you think, this is exactly why I don't believe the Bible, why it can't be true. This is all so fanciful. And this next passage, I believe, divides the room in half in a sense. This is the crux. This is the main point. This is where it divides all of humanity, one to one side, one to the other, and certainly divides what you believe about this gift of Christ and what you believe about Christmas. Is it just a time, a story? It's great, makes everybody feel happy, or is there really a truth-saving, powerful message behind the coming of this gift, this baby? And here it is in verse 37. And this is what Gabriel says to Mary, because I should say this before, you've already just read it, but that's okay. Listen, what did it say? I got to see what it says. Oh, okay. No, listen, this is why I think it's important, because Mary would have had those same feelings. Like, you just told me that I'm having the Son of God. I'm a teen mom. I'm betrothed to be married. Why would you do this to me? And I believe the angel probably could read that a little bit at least and say, yeah, I could see where this would be hard to understand. And then 37, he says this to Mary, for with God, nothing will be impossible. If you all think this sounds so far-fetched, that probably means you fall on a different category, a different side. And I'll just say, that's okay. We want you to be here. We want you to hear this message. But there's others that say this is the most important information in the world. And listen, it's kind of two different worldviews. One will believe that there is a God who created with purpose and intent, with a desire to have a relationship with his creation. That's us. And in reaches down into human history at this moment in time and says, nothing is impossible with me. I want my son to be born. I've been prophesying about it. I've been telling my people about it. This is that moment. And with me, there's nothing impossible. And I just say the Christian worldview says that is truth. That's what we believe with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that God desires relationship with us. And with him, there is nothing that is impossible. And then we get insight into Mary in verse 38. This young woman loves the Lord. She says this, "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maid servant of your Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Mary says, "Listen, I'm in. I believe what you said is true. There's nothing that's as crazy as this sounds, as unimaginable as it could be, as a young girl and this angel coming scared me to death. And here you are delivering this information. I believe what you just said is true. Nothing will be impossible with my God. That's who I know him to be." And she said, "Let it be unto me. I'll go through all those things that I have worries about, concerns about, questions about. I'll go through all that for you, Lord. I'll do it." This teen girl knows the plans of God more than anyone else at this point in history. An angel, God, and Mary know about the plans of God at this moment. Isn't that an amazing reality? At that point in time, it's just this young girl who knows. A Nazarene, a teen, innocent, not wise by worldly standards. But what she lacks in experience and stature, she makes up for in humility, obedience, and faith. And I love this as we look at these four real quick. God doesn't just leave her alone in this moment. In other words, God could have said, "That's enough. I sent an angel. What else do you want?" But he doesn't leave her alone in this moment. He moves on. He says, I'm going to help her out a little bit along the way, that she would truly believe and know and be encouraged by what I've told her. And so it says in our text, it says that Mary hurries down to go visit Elizabeth, her cousin. In verse 41, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped," that was John the Baptist, being the forerunner to Christ even before he was born, right? "The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women,' to Mary, 'and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord," right? Anointed by the Holy Spirit at that moment, Elizabeth recognizes something unique and special about this baby that was in Mary's womb. In fact, she says, "It's my Lord, should come to me. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And this is what she says to Mary. Let me encourage you with this. Let me anoint with this message. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." In other words, Mary, those things that Gabriel told you about, I'm supposed to tell you and encourage you that those are going to come true. Those things are true. And Mary must have thought, "Oh, thank you. Thank you. I thought maybe I was seeing things. I thought maybe I had a bad dream, or I thought, you know, this is crazy, but thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that message. I needed to hear that right now." And I'll just tell you this, that Elizabeth was the perfect person to come alongside Mary at that time, because Elizabeth had thought, "My childbearing days are over. I really wanted a child. I'm older in my years, I'm barren, I can't have kids. They've told me, I believed. And all of a sudden I'm having a child in my old age and God has promised this child." And now Mary comes and she's like, "You're never gonna believe what's happening to me. You're never gonna believe what's happening to me." And they would have talked together and shared together. Isn't God good? Yes, God is good. But let me tell you about what God told me. And they would have gone over the scriptures together and lined those scriptures up from Isaiah and said, this baby you're having, Mary, it's altogether different. It's altogether special. It is unique. And they would have talked to each other and encouraged each other and said, "We can do this." Two women together sharing. But that wasn't the only message that God sent to Mary to encourage her and to strengthen her. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings.'" This is the angels talking to the shepherds as they're out watching their fields at night. "Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And we know it doesn't stop there. That these guys, they get up and they go, okay, we're going to go look for that baby because it's a promise to us. And we're carrying this message because there's somebody else who needs to know this. Look at verse 16. And then they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Another, all those information the angels just told us, we're telling this to Mary and Joseph now. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And look at verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Okay. I was a young girl. The angel comes. He shares, oh my gosh, was I seeing things? Was I hearing things? Oh no, it's true. It's true. It's true. I'm holding this in faith. It's true. Sees Elizabeth. Oh, that baby caused something to happen in my tummy. Jump for joy. And I'm supposed to tell you that this baby is anointed. All those things that the angel told you, they're going to be true. Okay, good, 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 good. Faith, faith, faith. Trust, trust, trust. Moving forward. The baby's here. Was it all true? Was it all true? Shepherds show up. Listen, we just saw a bunch of angels. And all these angels, they're telling us that this baby is something special. In fact, I don't know why else shepherds would be here gathered around your baby. But just know that this baby is special. And Mary's like, oh, I treasure that in my heart. I hold on to that in my heart. This baby is special. Not even that. A year to 2 years later, these men show up bearing gifts. We call them the wise men. And they say, listen, not only do they say, but Matthew says that they come and they bow before the baby and they worship the baby. A year to two later, maybe probably when Mary's like, are you kidding me? This is not the Son of God. He still does all the same stuff a normal baby does. How could this possibly be? He's not sleeping at night. How could those promises be true? I thought he'd be glowing or something like that. But the wise men come and they say, listen, we've been called from afar. And I don't know why else wise men would show up at a Nazarite home somewhere or a home in Bethlehem. I don't know why they would show up with gifts. Mary must think, oh, so good. Thank you, Lord. These are powerful testimonies about this little baby, about this gift. And to close, I just want you to get a sneak peek by this song that Mary sings, a sneak peek into her heart. This young girl's heart, who I think over time, you know, she hears the message from Gabriel. She makes this journey to visit. It says she hurries out to see Elizabeth. And I think during that journey, she's like, ah, this is an amazing calling, Lord. I'm scared. Take me to your word. Take me to your, minister me by your spirit, Lord. I'm out there. And she's out walking and trying to get to Elizabeth. And she sees Elizabeth and she and Elizabeth talk together. And there's the sharing of the word. And the power and the Holy Spirit upon her. I think this song is birthed out of that. And I will just say, we don't have time to look at all these, but this song is basically words from the Old Testament that were prophesying about this Messiah that would come. And Mary has read those now. She's processed them in her heart. And now she's singing them out to the Lord. And so listen to what she says here. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly, even a teen girl. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And it says there in 56, and Mary remained with her about 3 months, that's Elizabeth, and returned to her house. This is the beginning account of the Jesus that we worship and we honor and that we love. This is the beginning of his story. Started off with a prophecy of saying, I'm going to send a Messiah, God, Yahweh, Jehovah. I'm going to send a Messiah to come and redeem my people and save my people. I'm going to do that. Jews waiting for that moment. And then we get this young girl and the visit by the angel and the promises that this is that Messiah, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. And now we get this idea that, listen, nothing is impossible with the God who has intent. He can create. And he's got intent, and I think most importantly, he desires relationship with his creation, and that's you and I. And so the reasons why that we get all excited about Christmas as Christians is because we believe this is the moment that everything changed. When Jesus comes onto the scene, and he begins to live out what it looks like to be the Son of God, and for us, his followers, to follow him for the promise of eternity and salvation in him alone. And I would just say, if you're visiting us here for the first time, come join us. We're talking about Joseph next week. And we have the whole entire month is set up that you would understand more about what Christmas is all about the Son of God, about Jesus showing up. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this time this morning, the time to kind of break out of our lives and study and look at your word. And Lord, I believe there are people here this morning. Maybe their first time setting their foot into a church, or maybe the first time in a long time. And Lord, I pray that you would use this message this morning to intrigue them, to encourage them to take another step further, to maybe look at the rest of Luke or maybe the other gospels and really research and look at what they believe. And I pray this morning would be a step forward for them. I thank you for the confidence that we can have in a God who can do the impossible. With you, there is nothing, Lord, that is impossible. And so use this morning as that platform, Lord, to speak to us, to draw us further into you. And may we as Christians use this opportunity to celebrate, to praise your name, that we can know truth, that we can walk with you. We thank you for your Son. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life